First, okay, welcome everybody. I want to thank Rav Shmuel Witkin Shlita for agreeing to come this afternoon and speak for a few minutes about his Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav David Soloveitchik. As we all know, Klal Yisrael suffered many, many terrible losses over the last several months, but there was no day that was more heartbreaking for Klal Yisrael than the loss of, I don't know, close to 300 years of Amelus and Torah on a single day, as we had last Sunday. And my immediate thought was that we should try to gain an appreciation of some of these Gedolei Torah who maybe we didn't have a direct connection with. And I think there's no better way to gain an appreciation than from those who were Talmidim of these Gedolei Torah. Rabbi Witkin Shlita is the Rav of Kehilas B'nai HaYeshivos in North Woodmere. He's a Talmid of Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky, but also of Rav David Soloveitchik. So I thought it would be a unique opportunity. In our yeshiva, we're going to be having Divrei Hespit from Rav Kan Shlita, but I felt it's different when it comes from a Talmud. It's a different perspective. Plus, no single person can possibly encapsulate 99 years of Amelus B'Torah and all that Rav David Soloveitchik represented. So I'm so very grateful, and I'm sure we're all very grateful, that Rabbi Witkin has taken the time to share with us some thoughts and perspectives about his Rebbe Zatzal. Thank you very much, Rabbi Witkin.
Rabbi Leibowitz, it's a tremendous chas. I hope it'll talk to be a chas for my Rebbe, my Rosh Shiva. I was able to learn there for 6 years, and being that I knew him very, very closely, and I had a very, I'll call it, special relationship with him, I know more than anyone, as Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned so beautifully, to encapsulate, to be able to truly do justice, I won't be able to do. But I'm going to try to share a few thoughts that I think he would appreciate my Heiliger Rebbe telling over to Rabbi Leibowitz's Talmidim, to give them an appreciation for, we'll call it, a Yiddishkeit of yesteryear, because I think he really represented a Yiddishkeit from a different generation, truly from a different generation. I mean, he was from a different generation, to be honest. He just lived in a different generation. He used to say, when asked, like when people used to talk about to him about Gedolim from this generation, he would say, it's hard for me to appreciate Gedolim this generation. Has to be Rebbe, but Shmuel Gedolim, you have to open there. What do you mean? So he would say, L'maisam and Aynes. I saw Rizki Rav, Rabach Ber, Chaim Weiser, Aynes Rachman Apatre. What should I say? Aynes Rachman Apatre. I saw a different Gedolim. I wish I could, but I just... So I'll start off just by giving you an idea of what his life was all about, what he lived with. To put it mildly, there was no Tesla in his driveway. Let me explain what I mean. He was a man of complete passionless simplicity. He just needed a chair. If you would have seen his house, he was able to be in his house, he could share in his house many times. The Balatot, as they're called in Eretz Yisrael, you know, you have like they have in America, you know, you'll have in the kitchen tiles, but the tiles there were so uneven. On a regular basis, it was hard to, you know, keep your chair straight. So when he was getting older, in his 90s, he wasn't sitting so well in his chair anymore. So they said, you know, we have to get him an armchair. Now, till he was masking to get an armchair, you know, he had in his house, you know, couches, and we'll soon talk about it, but what he had is just a plain piece of wood, it was a chair, you know, that's what he sat on, armchair, they had to get an armchair, he's going to fall off the chair, okay, we'll get an armchair, so they got an armchair, they did a custom to make sure, and they angled the back a little, so he would be able to, you know, sit back a little more comfortably. As soon as he sat in the chair, just to give you a picture, he jumped up, and he said, a part of Tzvilsim, you want to make me a guy, what are you doing to me? He said, I'm not sitting in this chair, never have I sitting. Finally got on the chair without an arched back, a straight back, so he could sit up straight, but he wanted to sit, always at the edge of his chair. He said, this is also Hashem, he said, he brought it to him during the week, he said, a new thing, you have to wait till Shabbos, a new thing, you have to wait to only till Shabbos, I'll sit in it on Shabbos, I need it, but I have to wait till Shabbos. Now, let me explain to you what his house looked like. Just to give you a marshal, his wife was a Sternbach, Zolgesundzei, Mrs. Rebinson Judy, we used to call her, Judy Sternbach, Mesh Sternbach's wife, Mesh Sternbach's sister. So she comes from a pretty wealthy family in Switzerland. So they sent a lift, right? Nowadays we have lifts, but after the chasm, they sent a lift from Switzerland, the furniture, you know, nice, we'll call it the furnished house, decent, you know, on Shiva, as soon as he got the furniture, he sold it all off. Sold it all off. He took the money, whatever it was. It was the money, I'm sure, for Sfarim or whatever to live on. And he used the crate that the furniture came in. He used it to build himself his Sfarim Shaks and his table that he uses still, that he used till this. That was the Lamaze of Arab Dom. The Bishra was upset with him. He said, if they're giving you ready, you can take. He said, I don't need it, I don't need it, I don't want it, I don't need it, I don't want it. Even his son's taking over the yeshiva, Rebel, his own and son-in-law to Rebel, Rashid Ivanovich, I'm sure you've all heard of. So when he first came to his son's house, he saw that his son had decent furniture, nothing too fancy, I've been in his son's house, but he said, I'm not coming back. Children in a 2-3 bedroom apartment. I'm saying we're not talking, you know, living it up. Simplicity. With the simplicity, he was the happiest person I've ever met. Mamish. What kept him going? The shir to him during shir, I'm saying he's saying shir probably 70 years, close to 70 years. The shir for him, it was like it's in a different world, a different time zone. Hoshin. The frishkeit, the freshness that he had while saying shir, like a teenager. I was there when he was in his 80s, late 80s. I only left. I was there for 6 years, and I left, let's say, 12, 13 years ago. So talk about what he told me when I left. But when I left, he's an old man. I was like, not stop. And Shir, he's fire, fire, fire. Sometimes after Shir, he wouldn't be able to talk to me. So I just went, fire. I remember once I asked him, I was chatting him a cheer about a certain Indian, and I sat down. I felt I was bothering him because he got a little angry and hissed. He used to scream about the Americans don't know how to learn, they don't know how to learn, they teach you Yiddish, they don't teach you how to learn. So screaming and yelling in Yiddish, it goes better in Yiddish, I'm sorry, but I sat down and I said, I'm sorry. So he started screaming, God, I'm sorry? What are you doing? Crazy, sorry, and Tyra's a Muhammad. It's a war, you're in a battle. I see you're still not masking. Why do you sit down and start fighting? This is how we live. Tyra was everything to him. Tyra was. That was it. And Hasmada, forget the Machamta Shaltai, Hasmada used to come to his Madrash. She used to stand on the steps of the building at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he used to give, like, if he would have gotten eyes from Radhani, his eyes were, I don't know if you saw pictures, but those eyes. Stare at the Bachar coming in, a minute late, 2 minutes late, and you never knew when he'd show up. Show up once or twice a week. You never knew when he'd show up. Saying, 85-year-old man standing outside of the yeshiva, watching every Bachar looking around with those piercing eyes. I was like, he used to talk about in shir. This is good. All the smicha program, right, Rabbi Leibowitz? Yeah? Okay, so you gotta hear this part. Don't take it the wrong way. Because I'm allowed to say it, I think, because I remember Rabbi Shechter was mechavin. Last time Rabbi Leibowitz was on at a dinner for a shul, Rabbi Shechter was mechavan, I think, to the same part. So Rabbi Shechter Shlita was mechavan, so I think I'm allowed to say it. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Where Rabbi David said it, Shira used to say, what's going to be with you? You don't come on time to say it. You don't learn Bas Mother. What's going to be with you? First, he used to say, you're a ganav on the benches of yeshivas. You're a ganav. You're a ganav. You don't come through Storm of Day on time. You're a ganav. What's the ganav? He used to go mamish before Rosh Hashanah Kippur to ask Mechila. But this is what he used to say. What was his lowest common denominator? What's going to be for you? You don't learn that father. What's going to be for you? You're going to be a wrong? That's what you're going to be. You're going to be a wrong? That's what's going to amount to you. It's that beautiful here. The understanding of what that means. Baruch Hashem, your Rebbe is continuing to give share. Mamish puts his life into Torah. But not every Rav has Kehillah issues, right? You keep yourself busy with that. What will amount for you? What will come of you? It has to be your life, it has to be your goal, not just what you're going to do to be able to have your career. That's how he looked at it. That's what Torah was. He set shir, just to give you a picture of how Chosha Torah, set shir on oxygen with a peg, with a stomach peg, till it came out the end of winter's about last year. 99 years old. That's what kept him going. People said, you could talk to him not during shir. He wasn't with it. I was there in the summer. It was the hardest thing to witness. Rosh wasn't the same person. A few months before he was saying shir. Once he stopped saying shir, that's when everything, the mind, everything. Shira kept him going. Tyra kept him going. Tyra was his life. Anybody who learns Kachim, as Hashem, one day you will, his Svarim are on every Masechta. There he, Rashi was the man to honor in these Masechtas. Tura, Erchim, Pieces, Zochim, and Nachas. You know, you'll see his Svarim, you'll understand what it means to learn Tyra that way. That's what kept him going. There was no Elam Hazda. There was nothing there. Midas. Let's talk about his Midas. I remember one time there was a bacher who was, let's say he was a bacher who was 99%, not 100%, we'll call it, yeah? So people were calling up about shtachim for this bacher. So people were saying Lashon Hara, people were saying he wasn't fully there. So Shiva, I remember then, Shir, he got up and he said, What's Lashon Hara? He said, before you say information about anyone for shtachim, it's very important for everyone to hear, it's really chavetz chaim. Before you say information, profile yourself. Tell them who you are. You don't come on time to say that. You don't daven the kavana. You're not a Yerush Shemayim. You say Lashon Hara. You eat whatever you want. You hang out with whoever you want. You watch whatever you want. Then, if they still want to hear, then you can tell them. The first profile is tell them who you are. That's how he looked at everyone. That's how he would never say anything bad about anyone. Everybody's tzara was his tzara. Talmidim. I remember once I was a Talmid Yeshiva. Didn't have kids for a few years. One day, Rav gives him a sefer Tehillim. Says, Megid, we're going. Oh, where am I going? He takes him to Maris Machpelah, and he said, tears that he saw the top shed. He never shed so many tears in his life. Yes, I'm saying he had a baby within a few months, or about a year, whatever it was. This Kesader, one time, someone was pushing him to let a Talmud into Yeshiva. He wanted to learn by the Yeshiva. Yeshiva said, I can't. He said, what do you mean? You told him he could learn in Beis Medrash. You told him he could sit in Beis Medrash. You told him to come to Yeshiva. What do you mean he's not in Yeshiva? He wants to be in Yeshiva. What does it mean to be in Yeshiva? You tell him he could sit in Beis Medrash. You tell him he maybe wouldn't be able to come to Yeshiva. What is it? Every bacher comes to Yeshiva. I daven for it. I cry for every single bacher's atzlach. Every single bacher. I can't do it anymore. I reached the goal. I can't do it. I can't take another bacher. That's how he looked at a town. That's how he felt about a town. When you got screamed at, the closer you were, the more you got screamed at. Trust me, he took it very, very seriously. Just tell you, when I left Yeshiva, I'll go back and forth, but I meant to say that. When I left Yeshiva, I moved back to America. Now, I had a whole bunch of conversations with him about moving back, not moving back, whatever it is. I went to the neighborhood a few times, not about me. So, just to tell you the way the Yeshiva dealt with Talmid. Last time I came to him, after talking to him a few times about it, I said, Witkin, after all said and done, you're a Yairin. You're a Yairin. You're leaving your service so you're a Yairin. There's nothing more to be said. Yerushalayim and everything that means about Yerushalayim, this Yid. Pasha used to cry every time he used to get mafter because Mei Brachas every Shabbos. Rachim Altsin Kibes Chayim. To hear that Rachim Altsin, to hear what it meant Yerushalayim to him, it was mind-boggling. Just to listen to the tears that were coming out when he said Rachim Altsin Kibes Chayim. He felt there's such a kedusha there. How can you leave? This is the place to be. You can be Ayla here. You can be Ayla Madregas. And trust me, it wasn't easy for them to live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm saying everything that they ate had to be Ibra Meiser. You had to take double Meiser. They wouldn't be Semech on any Echshayr. I'm saying it wasn't easy over there. It's much worse. Shemitah, Meiser, Trumas. It wasn't easy. That was living in Eretz Yisrael. That's Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael. That's the way you're supposed to live. You're supposed to live with that level of kedusha, the way people in Eretz Yisrael taka live. So it was so hush of it. You couldn't understand how people could go away from it. The Dikta Permitzis, this is something that is from a different generation, a truly different world. Dikta Permitzis. I told you he had to buy a pagan beginning of last winter, I believe. Just a sasimin for what he was. He had to get a pagan beginning of last winter. Really need a feed. Nervous. Only what? You can't get a feeding tube. Why can't you get a feeding tube? What's going to be with mitzvah matzah? Now, this wasn't a week before Pesach. This is the beginning of winter's month, yeah? What's going to be with mitzvah matzah? I can't have a feeding tube. I have to be okay. Mitzvah sachil matzah. So he taught himself to eat very, very, through the winter, he taught himself to eat little bites. So whatever little amount he can eat from okay, mitzvah. It's not a chiddush if you knew Rav Dov, because this is what he was. His demeanor changed based on the yamim tayim. That means before Sukkot, nervous, and come on, I'm moving the shrink. Right, you'd have the children would be running around. Tata, the father, my father doesn't have a rubber, he has a father doesn't have a dasim yet. So one of my friends was there for the Purim Siddha. He told me over about the Purim Siddha. It was mamish jolly and yishmak. Says, everybody out. I'm done. Purim over. End of Simcha. Going back. Okay. Even a Torah. But no, that's what it was. Sukkis. As soon as Sukkis started, in the Sukkah, he was the most freilich person. Zman Simcha Seidim. Zman Simcha Seidim was the most freilich person. Right? That's who he was. Everything was based around the Yiddish community. His whole life was based around mitzvahs, based around Torah, Meisim Tovim, everything. It was like, there was nothing else. It was Pashut. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else was the Negeah. Everything was just Torah and Meisim Tovim. That was all that mattered. Now, we talk about Musar. They don't tell you that how much he used to scream about learning Musar and making yourself into a better person. Not just in, we'll call it Limud HaTorah, but in Yerushalayim, how much he used to talk about, how much you have to put in to make sure that your midas are proper midas, that you're caring for other people, for how you have to live your life. Rutavit once said, crazy, I'm saying, he's not known to be so pro the IDF or the soldiers, you know. That wasn't what the risk is at home for whatever reason. But Akbani, one time, I remember, said, how did you eat breakfast this morning? How could you eat breakfast this morning? How could you eat? Gin were killed, how could you eat? It bothered him so much. Every year, it bothered him so much. And when it came to things that were against the Torah being done, I remember there were rallies in Yerushalayim against the Torah of who knows what. He couldn't stand it. You saw him getting sick talking about it. It sickened him how something's against the Torah. He couldn't fathom it. All that he cared about was Torah mitzvahs. There was nothing else. I'll leave you off of a mitzvah idea. No, we tend to look at mitzvahs, myself included, you know, okay, we gotta get it done. So, when it came to Torah, he could be sitting there, you could come in, you could try to distract him, wouldn't work yet. Kriyas HaTorah, he used to have his house 9 o'clock. The oil used to come in, Kriyas HaTorah, he'd be learning, wouldn't even hear Pasha, what was going on. Wouldn't you know what was going on? He'd sit there, nothing's there. He'd be knocking at the door, nothing's there. He came to mitzvahs, he wasn't on time, we'll put it that way. He wasn't OCD about being on time, okay? The mitzvahs. One of my friends is to bring him to matzah baking. I drove him once to Merak. Everything was meduktik. Everything had to be meduktik. When it came to matzahs, when he went to go bake matzahs, he had to come a half hour before. If you wouldn't come a half hour before to pick him up, made a time, once it was 2 o'clock, my friend wasn't there 1:30, he would be walking to the matzah bakery himself, right? And he had over 80 and the matzah bakery wasn't around the corner. Be walking already! And he'd tell him he came late! Come a half hour before we eat matzahs, so I know what's going to be matzahs. And it wasn't that way about everything. It came to that's the way it was. I remember when I took him once to the main rack for Achasna. So first of all, he visited his sister in Almana. That was Almanas and Simon. Everybody knew, well, Yasim, you're straight into Yeshiva. Well, you're straight into Yeshiva, Almanas and Simon. He once had, a yid who came for Chumashir. To get a seat in Chumashir, you had to be there for 30 years. 30! I'm like, this. We're, you know, old enough to be, you know, were grandparents. I'm saying, you know, you had to be there for 30 years. This yid came and sat down in one of the seats by the table. He came early to Chumashir. He wasn't a Talmud. So, Peshtetz Talmidim come. He had some, you know, Mishmaka Talmidim who wanted seats. And they said, yeah, who are you? Get out of here. Gets there. They shoot him out. So he left, probably no problem, and stands for Talmidim. Kids were Talmud Herd. He was a Gertzedek. Talmud Herd, he was a Gertzedek. I remember this person 40 years later. I remember seeing him out. He was so close to Rashida. Talmud got up, started screaming at the hill, Magab. Ran after him. He found him like 2 blocks away. Ran after him, brought him back. Sat him right next to him. One of the Gerbli Sainon, it's a Possum. It's a Gerb. You have to give him the utmost cover. Everything was meduktik. Every vart, every taina, every amela, the learning also. When you're so meduktik like that in everything in life, amela, a briskavart is a briskavart. Everything was meduktik. He said over a maisa, you can mamish feel like you're part of the story. Part of the story. Every single mice, every single leaf, every single rock. We're part of the story. Because everything was Maduk, because that's who he was. He lived his life Maduk. You should be zeichet as Hashem to live up to any one of his mitzvos as Hashem. Continue his legacy as Hashem. Together with your chashon and rabbein, we're giving you over that salvation dynasty. My father and grandfather also learned by his cousin. They're very proud of me when I went to the cousin in Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rabbi Yosef Ares. As Hashem, you're learning by Talmidim. As Hashem, you should be zeichet to live up to that level. Whatever level we could of godless, we're not going to be from the previous generation to try to gain some of their meanness. Shukayach for the opportunity.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Rabbi Wittgen. That was a real window into a different generation. Yashukayach. Thank you.
Yeah.